This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
PTB Wrestling Network. Welcome to this week's episode of your home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your co-host tonight, Scott Criscolo. Only two of the three tonight. Who's the one not with us? Well, why don't I introduce the one that is with us on episode 181. Yes, finally an episode that's got a number of like a billion athletes, which we'll get to in a moment. Let me bring in my man tonight. He is the other father. I am Pod. He is God. The purveyor of the Kings of Sport Patreon. Many shows talking about everything. I'm looking forward to him listening to the next episode of The Journey Through Infinity on the Jenny position, because Black Panther is our next episode. The Godfather, Nate Milton.
Yes, welcome everyone to the Jose Calderon episode.
Yes!
Legendary NBA player Jose Calderon. And here's the thing, Scotty. You know, I'm glad you mentioned other shows, because there's a lot of shows going on right now. There's a lot of conversation about wrestling and ring work, and we're comparing TV shows. And, you know, there's other shows, particularly here at Place to Be Nation, Scotty. There's other shows that want, you know, five-star classics. There's other shows that want 30-minute classics. Not us. Bump that. This show, the main event, we're about big, meaty men slapping meat in honor of our new WWE World Heavyweight Champion, Scotty. So I feel like even though it's only the two of us, we're going to have to work overtime to make up for the loss of Steve Willey. But I feel like we've got the power of positivity helping us out this week.
Yes, we do. We do, my brother. Yes, of course. A lot of TV to talk about. Because tonight, of course, as Brother Nate mentioned, Steve Willey had a family obligation tonight, so he was not able to join us. Steve, of course, will be back in 2 weeks.
Depending on once I listen to that episode of The Journey Through Infinity, we may need Steve Willey, depending on what you said about Black Panther, Scotty, because outside of that third act CGI, that is a perfect movie in my mind, and nobody can convince me otherwise.
Well, I'll tell you something, Steve. Nate, I'll tell you this, Nate. But anyway, Steve will be back with us in 2 weeks. I know we were also supposed to have, I did mention in our past episode, our man Brandon Thurston was supposed to join us.
Yes.
He had an obligation tonight, but he will be with us in 2 weeks. So
the hardest working man in the game right now.
He really is. My God. Like Willie the Worker, the sequel. yes, Brandon will be joining us in 2 weeks for the next episode. He promised he did say he will join us, but, of course, the last episode of, The Journey Through Infinity, which just dropped on the Jenny position, we did, Thor Ragnarok, which I gave a perfect 10, which is the first 10 that I've given, on our show. Not many 10s have gone out. Justin gave something a 10. I think he gave, Winter Soldier a 10. Other than that,
I would give Winter Soldier a 10 as well.
Yeah, I gave it 9.75. But practically perfect.
That's a gentleman's 10.
It is a gentleman's 10. That's a tip of the hat 10. I don't think, I'll have to double check. I don't think either Tim or Jenny have thrown 10s out yet. But yes, the next episode will be, of course, Black Panther. And let's just say, Nathaniel, that my opinions are not too far away from yours. So just stick with that. Not to tip my hat, but that episode will be coming up in the coming weeks on the Jenny position.
Black Panther in the zeitgeist, if you will, lately, Scotty, with What If. Have you been keeping up with that?
I got to watch it. I got to catch up to it. But I know it's one show on Disney Plus I have to jump on, but I haven't been able to watch yet.
Okay, because the Killmonger episode dropped this week. It's a really, really good episode. And then the second episode of the series was What If T'Challa Was Star-Lord? And that's a really good episode as well.
Oh, I got to jump on that.
And Chadwick, these are the last appearances of Chadwick in the MCU, obviously.
Right.
Because he recorded these before he passed.
Right, exactly.
So it's a good series. Like, it's not great. Like, there's some issues I have with it, but it's Marvel, and it's on a channel we're already paying for. So who are we to complain?
Exactly. Pretty much. It's already embedded in my Verizon bill. So
yeah,
nothing I could complain about. So, but as mentioned, and you mentioned Jose Calderon, some of the greatest number 81s. I mean, 81, Nate, is one of those numbers that has stood the test of time. You mentioned Jose Calderon. Obviously, 81, a huge, football number. And not just offense, not just wide receiver or tight ends, because if you go through history, plenty of defensive guys, plenty of secondary guys. Just looking at the list at the moment, we've got Doug Atkins, a player from the old school. Of course, one of my favorite 81s of all time, because he went to my beloved South Bend. That, of course, former Los Angeles Raider / Oakland Raider, Tim Brown, Heisman Trophy winner. George Connor, another Notre Dame guy, played for the Bears back in the 40s and 50s. One of the Purple People Eaters, Carl Eller, number 81. A guy you mentioned, Brother Nate, the Barry Sanders of wide receivers, not just because he was one of the greatest guys that retired this prime, but another great athlete whose heart the Detroit Lions ripped out and shit on. Of course, we are talking about Megatron Calderon.
Yes. Not only one of the great NFL receivers, but other than Randy Moss, he might be the best college receiver I've ever watched.
Yeah, right.
Like he made Georgia Tech relevant for three or four seasons.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep. Just like, the last time before that was probably when they co-won the national championship with, I think it was Virginia in 1989, 90 or whatever. It's probably the last time Georgia Tech mattered in football. Another great defensive lineman, probably one of the greatest, the master of the head slap. And he was on, I believe he was on the Brady Bunch as well, Deacon Jones, who only passed away, I think, a couple years ago. One of the greatest corners of all time, Dick Night Train Lane, who I think actually has, I think he still has the NFL record for, I want to say it's, is it picks in a season or picks in a career? I forgot which one.
Either way, he was memorialized in the Wildcats rap by LL Cool J.
Yes. Yes, he was.
Like Bronco Nagurski at Night Train Lane.
Yep.
Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff. Like that song is a great song, Scotty, but the more I listen to it, the more it's like, that would be like somebody today rapping about Joe Montana. Like, that's how far apart LL Cool J was from Sam Huff.
Yep. It's the sport of kings, better than seven. I think you, me, and Steve have to do a live watch of Wildcats, because that movie's awesome. Not many.
Has Wildcats been done on a Laughing Theater?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Mr. Atherton. It's definitely not on Freakout Drive-In, unless Justin tries to come up with some schemey way to make it a horror movie. No, I don't think it's been on Laughing Theater yet. I'll have to ask Mr. Atherton. But if not, I think, Nate, you and I need to do a combo,
because yes,
that movie is awesome.
Yep.
Not many great 80s Goldie Hawn movies that I would do.
I believe that might have been the very first combination of Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson, right. I forgot he was in it. Then there was the quarterback. Didn't he have the Jerry curl? He looked amazing.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, great movie. Great movie.
Finch.
Yep. Oh, so good. So good. Yeah. Wildcats on Laughing Theater coming down the line on the PTB Pop Experience. Even though he played on one of my most hated teams, I had to give this guy props. At one point, Brother Nate, he was the NFL record holder for most catches in a season from the Washington artist formerly known as Redskins, Art Monk, who was the all-time receiving leader before Marvin did it and broke the record in 2002, I think, right? Marvin Harrison broke the record. I think it was.
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know anybody by that name who has ever played in the NFL, Scotty. I know Peyton Manning threw a lot of passes to somebody wearing a jersey with the number 88 on it, but I don't remember who that was.
Of course, you just mentioned an 81 a moment ago. Another 81. He didn't wear 81 with every team, but he did wear 81 with a team. And that was, of course, Randy Moss, mm-hmm. who wore 81 with the Patriots? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he wore 81 with the Pats. He wore 84 with the Vikings. And I think he wore 84 with almost everybody else. But I think he wore 81 during that epic 07 season with the Pats. So then there's Andy Robustelli, who used to play for the Giants back in the 50s. One half of one of the most aggravatingly entertaining sports talk shows on Fox Sports, Shannon Sharp, with him and, of course, the most dyed-in-the-woods Homer Cowboy fan next to me, Skip Bayless. I'm not even as bad as he is, though. And speaking of Cowboys, the guy that dropped the pass in Super Bowl 13 that was the difference in the game of us not winning Super Bowl 13 against the Steelers, and that was Jackie Smith. Great tight end in his career when he was with the Cardinals. Wanted to win a ring with the Cowboys. Had a ball that even Steve Willie would have caught, and it bounced out of his hands. Cowboys kicked a field goal. And instead of going to overtime, tied at 35, the Steelers won that game 35-31. Those 4 points were falling out of Jackie Smith's hands. Anyway, there's all the predominant 81s. If we've missed any, go to the Place to Be Nation Facebook page. And after the
somewhere, show, somewhere every day, Eddie Guidardo is typing furiously. How could you forget me?
Eddie Guidardo, yes. Closer bouncing everywhere. Twins, Mariners. I want to say he was on Texas, too. But so we still got some great numbers. I mean, I'm looking now at my little list here. 82, we got some good ones. 83. Yeah. I mean, all the 80s are pretty awesome.
We'll be receiver heavy for the next month or so.
Month or so, exactly. So there we go. So some of the great 81s throughout history. All right, Brother Nate. Well, since it's just you and I tonight sitting around here enjoying a little cavassier like the ladies' man and having a nice little Romeo and Juliet, let's just rap. Let's just shoot the shit and talk about stuff. Obviously, one of the big topics we'll talk about. Actually, this is the first episode since All Out. That the first episode of Main Event since All Out happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. So why don't we talk about All Out? We'll talk a little AEW because I have now jumped on the bandwagon and I have watched Dynamite. I haven't watched a full episode of Rampage because Rampage is on a Friday and I'm usually not home much on the weekends to watch stuff. So, but I have watched Dynamite. Matter of fact, last night, you're listening to this, it was Wednesday night's Dynamite. I actually have in the background here in Studio B watching this Darby Allin Sean Spears match, which actually hasn't been too bad.
Yeah.
So, of course, All Out happened. All Out was, I mean, I'll be very comfortable in saying this, and this is me saying this, Brother Nate. All Out was probably one of the five, definitely one of the best pay-per-views of the last decade.
Yeah.
And top to bottom might be one of the, I'd say, might be one of the best pay-per-views of all time, honestly. I mean, even I could comfortably say that. The moments, there weren't many. Every match was relatively great. You know, maybe there was a stinker here or there, but not really.
QT.
Every match was great. Yeah, well, that was meant to stink because that was meant for Big Show to win in 50 seconds. We even said that on the show. We did the preview show the week before.
And still they found a way to stretch it out to 3 minutes.
I know, yeah. Yeah, it was 2 minutes. As a matter of fact, I'll bring up the card and the times because I agree with you on that. That's a little it went about 2 minutes and 50 seconds too long. What were your thoughts? I mean it was a great show. I mean, and this is me saying it. I know I've been fairly and unfairly critical. At least, unlike some people, I actually give reasoning to my criticisms. But there wasn't much to criticize about the show. And I even got to say, BR Live, actually, the feed didn't suck.
Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't bought an AEW pay-per-view in a while before All Out. I think the last one I bought was, I think I bought Revolution 20. So honestly, it was only like, three pay-per-views or two pay-per-views or something. I guess it was over a year. I think Revolution 20 was the last thing I bought. Because I felt like that that feed was the shits. And then somebody told me when they had BR Live and got last year's Double or Nothing, 2020, not this year's, same thing. So I'm like, I'll start buying them again. But then I realized now I think Fight TV.
Yep.
I thought it was only internationally, but now I think Fight TV, you can get it domestically now.
Yeah, that's where I watched it on Fight TV.
All right. I'm going to start doing it on Fight TV then because I have an account with Fight TV. So
yeah,
with all the NWA pay-per-views I buy. So overall, what was your thoughts on the show?
Really good show. Like, I think, as you mentioned, Scotty, easily one of the best shows of the past decade. You know, I'm not going to go as far as some folks that I've seen that have said it's the greatest show of all time. But I will say it's in the conversation for best North American shows ever. Like, I think, you know, if you put in your top 25, I'm not arguing. I thought it was, you know, it felt like one of those old NWA WCW shows or one of the old Fed shows when the WWE was at its peak. The atmosphere, you know, we talk a lot about how Chicago seems to get everything, but this was the show for Chicago, where you had Punk's return. And then at the end of the night, we see the debut of Adam Cole and then the debut of Daniel Bryan. And I think that, you know, one of the things we talked about when we used to be part of a gang, Scotty, a gang that would meet up at Cracker Barrel and talk about AEW shows once upon a time. And one of the things we talked about was the show worth your money? And there were some shows that were worth the $50. There were some shows that weren't. This show was worth more than $50. Like, if Tony Khan sent me an email the next day and was like, hey, I'm gonna need 20 more bucks for that show last night, I would have been like, you know what? Yeah, you do, Tony, because that was better than a $50 show. So I think that, you know, it was easily AEW's best show. Like the tag match with the Lucha Brothers and the Young Bucks was fantastic. Like, there wasn't really much fat on the show other than the QT match. I think the women's Battle Royal started off rough, but then we got that surprise at the end with, you know, Ruby Riott, now Ruby Soho, showing up. And her and your girl Thunder Rosa being the last two participants. Like, I thought pretty much everything they did was spot on, and that crowd was hot all night. So, you know, I think it was an A-plus show. If you haven't seen it by this point, like, it's worth it to buy the replay, in my opinion.
Yep. Totally agree, 100%. We were talking about the, you know, one of the things I used to goof about with AEW on their pay-per-views was every match, it was double digits. Even WWE knew when to keep matches short. But problem is they have these matches, and some of them need the time. Here were the match times. That 10-man tag was 9:25, but that was on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Miro and Eddie Kingston was 13:25, but that was a really good match.
Yeah.
John Dean Ambroxley and Kojima was 12:10, which was followed by our man Suzuki's entrance and them just tatooing each other, which is pretty
like,
awesome.
Even that, like I thought the match with Kojima, it was fine for what it was, but then they kicked it up a notch when we bring out Minoru Suzuki. And it's like, oh, like this went from just an okay match to like, this is a really great moment.
Yep. I agree 100%.
He beat up Moxley. So I'm sure you enjoyed that.
I enjoyed that very much so. Yes. I enjoyed that. I don't care about a stupid Cincinnati crowd the following week. Britt Baker successfully defended her women's title. We're not going through the card. I'm just reading the matches. Defeated Chris Statlander, which is a bummer because I like both of them. That match was 11:25.
Solid, like maybe one of the weaker matches on the show, but still solid.
Then maybe the match of the night, and that was the Lucha Brothers pinning the Young Bucks in the cage to win the tag titles in 22:05. And I finally realized, Brother Nate, what gets me to like the Bucks? They gotta be heels. They're douchey scum fucks. But when they're baby faces and act like that, they're fucking annoying as hell. Right. When they actually want to get booed, you're fine with me.
They're really good heels.
They're amazing heels. What'd you think of that match?
I loved it, man. I was surprised because when we did our predictions, I was going with the Young Bucks. But, you know, they made the right call. And like the post-match stuff, you know, where you had Penta and his daughter, like that's great stuff. And they let it breathe for, you know, 3-4 minutes, Scotty. So yeah, like a lot of great storytelling in the match. And like Rey Fénix might be the best cruiserweight on the planet.
Pretty much. I can't lie to you about that. I can't lie and tell you no. It's pretty close. And apparently from what not just Steve Willey, but some other guys have said that went to the show, that was the biggest pop of the night, next to obviously Bryan Danielson. The Lucha Brothers winning blew the roof off the place, apparently. So Ruby Soho, the artist formerly known as Ruby Riott, won the Casino Battle Royale to get that number one contender shot, which she will cash in next week. Or is it this Friday? No, it's next Friday on Rampage for the women's title. So it'll be Ruby Soho and Britt Baker next week. She pinned my girl Thunder. She eliminated my girl Thunder, but I'm glad they were the last two because I love both of them. So the only not the match, but the only decision that I was skeptical on was Chris Jericho beating MJF. That match was 21-15. I mean, obviously, this past week on Dynamite, Jericho started a feud with that, what's his name, Ken Lambert, who, God, what an asshole. But everyone says that's me. So like, that would be me if I was in AEW, which is totally not true. Maybe a little true, but not totally.
That would have been you a month ago.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been me, like, for the last year. But,
before your conversion. But,
exactly. But your thoughts on the match, Nate, and should Jericho have won?
I thought it was a really good match. Like, it was an old – like, that's the thing about AEW. They've got a lot of different styles on their show where, you know, we can have a match like a slugfest, a slobber knocker, right, like Kingston and Miro. But then we can have, like, the Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks. And then with Jericho and MJF, it felt much like, you know, one of those old NWA-style matches with, you know, the dastardly heel. And I thought it was a good match. I would have gone with Jericho losing, though, because I think that's a more interesting story, especially since he was getting ready to leave anyway, I guess, for more Fozzy dates, because people still want to hear more than that one Fozzy song in 2021. I'm not mad. I'm not mad at him, Scotty. But I would have had Jericho lose, but I'm not mad at the finish. Like, I think, you know, MJF didn't lose much in the loss, and I guess they're going to use Jericho to try to get the Dan Lambert, I forget what they're called, like the Men of Honor with Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Like, I guess they're going to try to get them over. So I guess that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too. I just was I was hoping Jericho would go to the broadcast booth and kind of let some young guys.
He would have been an improvement in that booth.
Yes, very much so. Although we had just mentioned off mic, Punk this past Wednesday sat with the trio. I mean, 3-man booths bad enough. 4-man booths are ridiculous. I don't know why they need so many announcers.
Rampage is like I like Rampage a lot. It's maybe becoming one of my favorite shows because it's just an hour, Scotty.
Right.
But like the commentary team on Rampage is a bit rough because you've got four people and one of those people is Mark Henry, who's just learning the job, and it's rough.
Yeah, no, I agree. Then we had Punk and Darby Allin. That went 16:40, and that was really – a lot of people – what do you think of this analogy, Nate? A lot of people said watching that match was like Punk was like a preseason NFL team. You know they're great, but because it was the offseason, that, you know, this was more like a walkthrough match that didn't have to be perfect. I kind of agree with that thinking.
Well, that's the thing. Like in Chicago, Punk could have just stepped in the middle of the ring and pulled a Terry Bollea and just posed for 5 minutes, and that crowd would have gone nuts.
Right.
Like, Punk didn't have to do much. Like, I thought the match, it was good, but it wasn't, like, we know that Punk and Darby can do better. But I do think, like, it kind of played into the story, Scotty, of what does Punk have at this point. And there were some really cool moments with him being smarter than Darby, and then the other moments where Darby was just so fast and so athletic that Punk was having trouble keeping up. So I thought it was a really good match.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And Darby Allin had nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Great match. Now he's moved on to a really good feud with Sean Spears, and they wrestled this past week on Dynamite. The match was really good. Then our aforementioned Paul White and QT Marshall match, which was 3-10, Brother Nate. It probably should have been, why don't we ditch the three? And everything would have been fine.
There was no reason for this match.
And of course, and the main event.
That's my only complaint on this match, Scotty. And we didn't talk about it on the NWA podcast because that came All Out happened after we had recorded our episode. But my big complaint, my only complaint really about the card is if we had to put this 3-minute match somewhere, or if we had to have 3 minutes as a buffer, I would have rather you given that 3 minutes to somebody like Powerhouse Hobbs, who could have used the exposure on a big show like this versus Big Show, who's already over, and QT, who will never be over. Sorry.
That's funny. And then the main event, good match in 21-20. Was surprised it was last, but we know why it was last. Kenny Omega retains the AEW title against Christian Cage. What a good match. And then, of course, we had the big debuts of Adam Cole, who immediately turned heel and joined the Elite. And then, of course, the big one at the end, and that was Bryan Danielson. So, epic debuts, big surprises, place went batshit. Kind of pay-per-view we've needed for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I will totally give AEW their due. That was an amazing show. And yes, for once, I had no problem ponying up the $50. No problem at all. I have watched both episodes of Dynamite since. I caught most of the first Rampage. I did not watch this past week's. I watched sort of, what was the beginning? What was the first match?
This was past week's Rampage was Pac and Andrade. Oh, Pac, they ran that back.
Yeah. I watched that match. I didn't get to watch the rest of the show. That match is pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I kind of like what Rampage seems to be doing, which is we'll put our high profile match first, and then we'll give the main event spot to somebody like younger, or we'll put the women in the main event spot and give them some exposure. Cause a lot of people, like if the show starts at 10, a lot of people are checking out at 10:30. So I think it's a smart decision to kind of put your best match first.
Right. Particularly on a Friday, you know, a lot of people, you know, they're staying up late, you know, weekend comes, they're out or whatever.
And a lot of them have just finished watching 2 hours of SmackDown too.
That is true. But you are, I mean, again, though, would you rather go into Rampage and probably be like, damn, SmackDown's halfway decent. Can't we go into after 3 hours of Raw? That would be even better. Because, you know, the head of the table is on SmackDown, and we all know how I feel about him. So,
SmackDown actually had a really good episode last Friday.
Yes, they did.
With all the Trey Young and all that.
Yep. I enjoyed that very much. And I just love Roman, of course. And it is Roman and Finn Balor at Extreme Rules. So obviously they're holding off the Brock Lesnar stuff. We'll get to WWE in a minute. So this coming Wednesday on Dynamite is, of course, they're calling the big Grand Slam Dynamite. It's the big show coming from right down the pike from me, across the street from my cursed baseball team. Arthur Ashe Stadium, home of the U.S. Open, and big show next week. I could say both Dynamite live 2 hours, and then of course Rampage will actually be 2 hours. So a pretty good 4 hours of wrestling. So. A bunch of matches set for this coming week.
Yeah.
Just looking ahead at some of my notes.
Essentially, they're giving us a pay-per-view on Wednesday.
They pretty much are. Adam Cole beat Frankie Kay in a great match, and then he cut a promo. And I'll tell you right now, though, you know who my favorite guys are, Nate. You know who my favorite guys are. You know, I am not in favor of the term super click. Because guess what? There will, was, and always will be just one click. Sorry, guys. Change the name. Next, Lucha Brothers, Butcher and the Blade will be on Rampage. That should be a fun little match.
Yeah.
Got a few good matches coming up this week on Dynamite or on a Rampage as well. Fuego del Sol is going to defend, is giving up his car for a title shot with Miro. So here are the matches at Dynamite Grand Slam. I actually have it on the screen right now. CM Punk will do a live interview 48 hours before his first TV match. Cody Rhodes will take on Malakai Black. MJF, I'm pumped about this one. MJF will take on Baby Pillman. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, Ruby Soho will be cashing in her shot against Britt Baker. And then FTR will take on Sting and Darby Allin. Those are all next Wednesday live on Dynamite from Arthur Ashe Stadium. Next Friday, it'll be Adam Cole and the Bucks against the Jurassic Express. I got to rewind. Come on, AEW. Come on, TNT. Slow down the graphics, for Christ's sakes, will you, so I can read your freaking graphics? Good Lord. Come on. Man, going too fast. let's see. Oh, wow. This really went far. Yeah, kind of pumped about that. Let me go through this again. All right, I got to pause. Hold on. Live here on Main Event, Butcher Baker. Here we go. All right. So I do have a problem. One problem. So this coming Wednesday on Dynamite, Brother Nate, Bryan Danielson,
yes,
and Kenny Omega will wrestle one-on-one in a non-title match.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a big, big mistake. This is what I call the AEW version of Hollywood Hogan and Goldberg from the Georgia Dome. This is the match they all want to see. Everybody and their mother wants to see this. Why are we giving it away? Not only are we giving it away, why are we not having a title match out of it?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they wrestling a non-title match on a free show? AEW, you're in the driver's seat right now. You're not the one panicking. Why are you giving this match away? If you want Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega to wrestle in the same match, how about this? Bryan Danielson and Jurassic Express,
mm-hmm,
against Kenny and the Bucks. How about that for a fucking epic? Or Bryan Danielson and the Lucha Brothers,
mm-hmm,
against Kenny and the Bucks. Sign me up for that 6-man tag. But why are you giving away a match that you'll probably have on November 13th from St. Louis at Full Gear, most likely, unless they do it at Revolution in February, but I don't think they would wait that long.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you giving the match away? And number one, why are you making it a non-title? Just so Brian could win? Because if Brian wins, now you're kind of tipping your hat on what would happen down the line. If Kenny wins, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
And you're going to book this match and cause a big, you know, make a big pump up for next Wednesday's show and then have a schmoz? Nah. Because if WWE did that, everybody would be blowing up the internet and melting it down and tweeting our good man Brandon Thurston on Twitter that we should sell to WWE should sell to Disney. What do you think the thinking is here, Nate? Because all I'm saying is, trust me, I want to see Bryan Danielson and Kenny.
Yeah.
Everybody does. Why, A, give it away for nothing,
mm-hmm,
when you don't have to? And B, why aren't you putting the title up? I don't get it. Why do we need a non-title grappling, right, catches, catch can, New Japan match for free? You don't have to, AEW. You're the ones in the driver's seat.
Yeah. I mostly agree with you, Scotty. Like, I've been saying it should, like, Brian's first match should have been a six-man against the Elite. But the only reason I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt is because they've been very smart.
Mm-hmm.
And they may screw this up, but I think, you know, you mentioned that third option, Scotty.
Mm-hmm.
The schmaz, if you will. And I think this could be the rare event, the rare case of a schmaz that actually is beneficial, because this might be the return of Hangman Page, where we get a lot of, like, elite shenanigans during the match, and that's why the match is thrown out, and Hangman is the one to save Brian.
Okay.
And so we don't give away a full Brian Omega match. They just give you a teaser, Scotty. It's like you know, when you see the Frank Thomas commercial on TV, and Frank Thomas is talking about, you know, how sometimes, Scotty, when a man reaches a certain age, he can't quite hit like he used to, and he's got these pills from Nugenix, Scotty, that can put you back in the game. But when you order the Nugenix pills on the commercial, apparently you don't get like a full bottle. You get like four or five pills, I guess. And so they just giving you a sample for later, Scott. And I think that could be the thinking here, where we'll give you, you know, all the pomp and circumstance that this is going to be a big match. And we'll give you, you know, 7 minutes of a Danielson Omega match before the Elite ruin it. And then Hangman makes the save. And then your big moment is Hangman and Danielson in the ring, and Danielson kind of giving the endorsement to Hangman, because that still is, in my opinion, Scotty, that's still the story they have to pay off, is Hangman beating Kenny for the title. And that's a way I think you could frame it. So, like, I agree with you that it's the wrong decision, probably. I'm just saying they have a lot of goodwill built up right now. So I'm hoping they don't screw it up.
You know what? There are a lot of people, there are a lot of cohorts and compadres here at the PTB Wrestling Network, and of course on the other rest of the Quad of Pods, that would tell me, oh, there you are again. See, you're not totally on the bandwagon. But not you, Brother Nate. You just made me feel warm and fuzzy, because you actually gave me what I want to hear. And if the return of my man, the uncrowned champion of AEW, Adam Hangman Page, comes out that night,
and that stadium would go crazy.
Yep, and you will make me smile. Brother Nate, you know how to do it. That's why, folks, he purveys the Kings of Sport Patreon. I'm going to talk to the head of the payroll department, Baby Simba, to get you a raise.
Yes, so, or Tony Khan, at least give me a little kickback.
Luke, yeah, Tony, you know, give him a little kickback, Zool.
He's spending all this money on everybody's theme song. The least he can do is send me a check.
Yeah, well the point is he better be careful, because if he keeps spending too much money, his dad's going to walk up to him and go, look, in 3 years, I got to pay Trevor Lawrence. So, you know, cut the shit. So,
I mean, if Trevor keeps playing like he did last week, maybe that's a loss they can cut.
Yeah.
It's going to be a long season for the Jaguars.
Yeah, but that's all right. That's all right. He's, you know what? Kid's going to be good. He's got a good arm.
Yeah.
You know, that division's a little wonky though, Nate, you know, with the Titans and the Colts,
Houston.
And Houston's going to suck, even though they kind of stole a win last week. So you never know. You never know.
They need to put Travis Etienne in. Like, no disrespect to Carlos Hyde and James Robinson, but like, we know what they can do. I think Etienne is ultimately the guy for him in the backfield.
I love Travis Etienne. I love anybody that was on any of those Clemson teams. So good. So, yeah, big Dynamite next week. And then, of course, some big matches on Rampage.
That
so big
atmosphere four alone. Like, the again, this is kind of like Punk in Chicago. They could put out the worst show ever, Scotty, the worst episode of Dynamite, and that atmosphere and that crowd would still be electric.
Yep, you're absolutely right. I agree. So we'll see what happens this coming week. I just don't think they should throw Kenny and Daniel Bryan out there. I don't. I think make You only have four pay-per-views a year. Make us pay for it. Make us pay for it. That's all I'm saying. I don't mind wanting to see that big match, but I'm willing to pay money for that match. Don't give it away. But if what you say might be the thing, I will pick up what they put down. So there we go. Now, on the other side of the coin, in reaction to AEW getting over a million viewers that Dynamite after All Out, the moment in wrestling
and
over
beating
the last
Raw
couple
in
weeks,
the demo.
And beating Raw in the demo. The Godfather finally gets to throw some pancakes in the fucking air. Because this past Monday on Raw, we have a new World Wrestling Entertainment WWE champion. After Bobby Lashley took on Randy Orton, babyface cash in, which means I'm walking to the ring slowly. I'm signing the check, and let's do this. No Edge 05 New Year's Revolution or back-to-back punks in 08 and 09. No, we're doing RVD 06, baby. Sign it, go to commercial. And we have a new WWE champion, Mr. Langston. Big E. And I was very happy. What a moment. Yeah. What a moment. Now, it turns out, and I'm sure this makes you feel pretty good, Nate, that he was going to win it at some point. There was no doubt he was winning it. Apparently, he was going to win it the night of the draft, which is probably, what, in like a month, I think, or maybe late October or something. Maybe the night after the October pay-per-view. I'm not sure. So he was going to win it. So you could take solace in that. They just pushed it up because that's what usually happens when WWE panics. First off, your thoughts. Just glow in the moment, my friend. The floor is yours. He's your boy. What a moment to see Big E as world champion.
And this is somebody's guy that I've been saying for years.
Yes, you have. On this
show. Should be a world champion. On this show? On shows that don't even exist anymore. Clotheslines and headlines.
Yes. That's right. Yes. Yes. I remember. I listened to them on our archive. PlaceTV.Podbean.com.
I've been saying for years that this is a guy who is ready for that next step. And so I was very happy that they pulled the trigger and put the belt on Big E. You saw like the outpouring from fans and also people in the industry. Like, this is one of the good dudes in the industry, and people were happy for him. Like, I'm extremely happy that Big E is going to be the champion, hopefully for the foreseeable future. The only thing that I didn't like, Scotty, was how we got there. Because here's the analogy I'll give you. It'd be like if Steve Willey came to me one day and said, "Hey Nate, here's $500." That'd make me really happy. But instead of handing me, a check or handing me $500 bills, he hands me a Walmart bag full of slightly damp $1 bills. And it's like, this presentation is not great, but it's still $500. So I'm happy. I'm just less happy than I would have been had you presented it to me in a different form. I think the fact that we only had like not even 24 hours, I think Big E tweeted out, 6 hours before the show, 5 hours before the show, that he was going to cash in. And that's the first indication we had. And I think maybe I would have liked it better if he had pulled a Seth Rollins and made the match between Bobby and Lashley a triple threat, or between Bobby and Randy a triple threat, and beat both of them. But these are minor issues, Scotty. Like, I think you're right. Like, this was a very reactionary episode of Raw, not only because of what AEW did, but because Monday Night Football was back. And so they wanted to maximize the show, and the ratings didn't bear that out. But I would say, like, I'd argue that the fact that the ratings held as much as they did is a testament to how much people like Big E. Because I think if you gave us the same Raw that you gave us 3 weeks ago on this past Monday, those ratings would have cratered.
Oh, big time.
And I think, like, the fact that people were interested in seeing Big E win was the only reason you held that audience. And so, like, I'm very happy for him. I hope they give him a long run. I think that there's a lot you can do, particularly, you know, as we're heading to Survivor Series. Normally they do like the champion versus champions match. I'd love to see a six-man with Roman and the Bloodline versus Big E and the New Day. Like,
why
I
not?
Think that's good business right there, in my opinion.
Because the New Day, as we've documented for years here on the show when we've done all of our previews, New Day and Usos have some, in the Bloodline, yeah, have a little history. As a matter of fact, one year, one of the SummerSlams, maybe it was 17.
When they were on the pre-show?
They were on the pre-show, and that match was fucking amazing.
Had the
it was better than anything that night. That was the four-way with Braun, I think. Brock, yeah. Braun, somebody and somebody.
All the big hosses.
Yeah, Roman, and I forgot who the other one was. But, yeah, it was... But, yeah, that New Day Bloodline match, or Usos, was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I do like the Bloodline t-shirt, except I don't like the print on the back, but I do like them on the front. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, I think that six-man could be killer at Survivor Series.
I agree. And in 2 weeks, when we're back on our next show, it'll be the week coming out of Extreme Rules. So we'll see, you know, the first post-SummerSlam pay-per-view with Big E as champ. We'll see about Roman and Finn. You know, should be pretty interesting what happens going out of that. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about, because I did watch it this week for the first time in I don't know how long, I did watch the rebirth of NXT, or otherwise known as they're calling it NXT 2.0. Mm. On a side note, time for me to go off one of my tangents. I have on Studio B now, I have our Thursday night football game between the Giants and the Washington Football Association of the Universe. And I have to say, Brother Nate, regardless whether they ever come up with a nickname, I think they should keep the numbers in the helmets. I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
It's got that Bama
it's
thing.
It's a good look.
You know? Yeah, I like it. Regardless whether they come up with some weird name.
They have to come up with a new name before next season, though, because you can't. Like, it's just weird.
You know why? Because all of the apps that do scores, you know, they probably have it programmed so you have the nickname. So, yeah. Like, you look at the Yahoo app, and it says, the Giants are playing football team. It's like, come on, guys. Anything. The problem is all the good, like, Washington, D.C., mm-hmm, politically sounding nicknames are all taken or have been used. Senators, Capitals, Federals? The Washington Federals? I kind of dig that.
Right? Federals is nice. I like, up around this area, like, the two names that seem to be getting the most traction are Red Wolves or Red Tails.
If you gave me one of those, I would go with Red Wolves, because they could come up with a bitchin' logo,
and that way you can still keep like the W,
right?
The big W.
Yeah, I like that. The Red Wolves. I like that. I think it'd be a badass logo, but yeah. I think they should keep the names, the numbers on the helmet.
And that way you can still keep the HTTR.
Yes,
that's the big thing out in these parts, Scotty. It used to be Hail to the Redskins. Now it's Hail to the football team, but they can go back to HTTR if they're the Red Wolves.
Hail to the Red Wolves. Wow, it even flows.
So you don't even have to change the song that much.
Hail victory. Da, da.
You just have to take all the... You just have to change that Braves on the Warpath line.
Exactly, yes. Wolves
on
the Warpath.
Yeah.
Wolves in the Forest? Anyway.
It's not that hard, Daniel Snyder.
I know. Oh, God. And you know what's funny, Nate? You were talking about Raw and the ratings. It was actually pretty fucking good at Monday Night Game Monday between the Ravens and Raiders. Pretty good. Isn't that ball that I know that you can't see the stadium much while you're watching the game, you're just looking at the turf, but doesn't that place look amazing? I'm telling you, anybody, whether it's wrestling, a concert, a bowl game, a Raider home game, I can't stress enough how awesome Allegiant Stadium is. It is absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous.
That was it was great for WrestleMania, but like what we saw Monday was like that's what that place was designed for.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it looked great.
No, it did. It did. The Raiders could make that the new black hole. Yeah. They really could. Even when you walk outside and it's all black and chrome, and they weren't stupid. They made it look like a place the Raiders could play in. It's almost too clean. The Alameda Black Hole will always be my like my favorite spot for.
Give it a few years, let it get dirty.
let it get a little grimy. All the liquor stores in Vegas. I'll say this quick: all the liquor stores in Vegas have Raider vans. So the city to its credit, the city is trying to embrace the Raiders. I will say that they're trying to embrace the Raiders. By the way, my friend told me that the new 30 for 30 about the Mets is actually really good. Once Upon a Time in Queens.
But I gotta say,
the Straight Out of L.A. One of my favorites. I gotta say, I had a Raider hat.
Like Vegas is I think now that the forbidden door on gambling has been kicked down, it wouldn't shock me, Scotty, if within the next 5 years there was an NBA team in Vegas.
Yeah, I think you're right. I got to be honest with you, Nate. And this is me coming from a degenerate sports gambler, but I like to make my parlay once in a while. I never thought we'd see any sports teams in Vegas. I just thought there was too much temptation for just scummy backdoor shit going on. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, now it won't matter anyway because the gambling will become legal. So, but I think you will. I think you'll see a team playing
now.
Team
now it's scummy stuff. Legal stuff.
Yeah, and. I think by the end of this decade, so by New Year's Day 2030, the Raiders will be there, the Golden Knights will be there, an NBA team will be there, and I think honestly the Oakland A's will move there, because they're not getting a new building there.
And if there's a baseball team in Vegas, Pete Rose needs to throw out the opening pitch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If he's still with us in 8 years or whatever. Anyway. All right. So Steve's not here to enjoy our tangents tonight. We miss you, Steve. All right. So I watched NXT. I'll be honest. First time I've watched NXT in a while. So two-thirds. Mm-hmm. I'll be completely transparent. Two-thirds of the roster. I have no fucking clue who any of them are. I do like Swerve Scott as U.S. champ. I like that whole faction. I do like Pete Dunne. Who doesn't? I am not upset that Ciampa won the belt. Perfectly fine with me. I think he's a stalwart in NXT. They didn't want Pete Dunne to win it quite yet, but Vince and Bucktooth Fuckface there knew that, and Bruce Pritchard knew that. Ciampa winning wouldn't piss too many people off because most people like Ciampa. So, the women's division solid. I like the look of the venue now. I kind of like the whole high bleachers near the entrance thing. I kind of dig that actually. And I got to be honest, I might get some shit for this. I really don't mind the new like. Flashy color scheme logo thing. Having said that, I do miss the fact that NXT had the single color because I liked that every brand had its own color. Like Raw was red, SmackDown was blue, and NXT was gold. I like that. Now it's like NXT is Basquiat colored. But honestly, I don't mind it, Nate. What do you think of the new like branding?
They definitely needed an update. I think I like it, but I think it's going like they course corrected a bit too much the other way. Like I think somewhere in between the old look and this look is the look. And I don't know if they'll still tinker with the set and tinker with the way that the show looks aesthetically. But I think like if we could tone the current look down just a notch or two, then I think you've got something.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that's a little less point. Nickelodeon, a little more freeform. Like
That's good. I like that. I think the roster, I don't think anybody can complain. I mean, it's all fully young, hungry men and women who want to go out there and make their name. Yeah. So the problem is if Triple H was heading this, I don't think anybody would care. They might think the logo's a little much, but they wouldn't bitch as much. But since they know who's in charge and they know who's calling the shots, everybody is skeptical, and rightfully so.
Yeah, and I think another problem they have is not even thinking about the audience at home, Scotty, but the audience at the shows. Because they've been conditioned to accept a certain type of NXT for years. And what we got, like, I don't think it was a bad show. I think there's things they can work on. There's just stupid Vince things that Vince always does. Like, we got Rick Steiner's kid, so let's distance him from anything associated with Rick Steiner. Like, that's just dumb, in my opinion.
Right.
Like the character, like, I think that this is a show that's going to have a learning curve. Like, the audience is going to have to get used to it. And, like, even when some of the matches were good on Tuesday, I didn't feel like the crowd was as connected as they were in the old days, which were only a couple weeks ago.
yeah, all right.
So, like, I think, like, the talent's fine. The talent's not the problem at all. It's just a matter of bringing this new audience or bringing your old audience into the new stuff. And how patient are they going to be, Scotty? Because I think that's one thing, you know, that I will give your boy Triple H credit on. Like, Triple H would let stories cook in NXT in a way that I'm not sure if Vince is willing to let things cook if they don't give him immediate results.
True. I don't think you're breaking the fourth wall on that. I think everybody is skeptical of that fact. So we'll see.
In 3 weeks, we could be talking about NXT 3.0.
Yes, led by somebody else. I'm looking ahead. I'm trying to think when the next takeover is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have. Isn't the belt? Oh, that's NXT UK. I'm trying to think when the next takeover is, because that'll be a big deal. Of course, at the end of the show, Ciampa had the belt and baby Rick congratulated him, but they're high on him. So
yeah, I think he's, like, to me, he was one of the standouts of the episode. Dumb name aside, I think he's a star. He's a star in the making.
Yeah, I agree. And I think he's he's got a lot of his dad in him. Apparently he's the singlet he wore is like the exact replica of one his dad wore at maybe SummerSlam 93 or Survivor Series 93, one of those.
See, and that's a story you could tell me on commentary if we allowed this dude to be who he is.
Yeah.
Instead of Bron Breakker or whatever he's called these days.
Bron Breakker. Five matches for Extreme Rules set, by the way, of course. Mm. The Usos and the Street Profits for the SmackDown tag titles, which I'm looking forward to. Roman and Finn. He is the demon. So now what does that mean? The demon streak is over?
Yeah. That's a mistake in my opinion. Like, why break that out if you're just going to have him lose?
Right. Charlotte and Alexa for the Raw Women's title. Damian Priest will defend the U.S. belt against Sheamus. And then we have the Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair rematch. Then the following, let's see, the next pay-per-view after that is the Crown Jewel. And that is where Brock and Roman will have their thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to see. Let me look ahead here to I would say probably before Survivor Series. I would say before Survivor Series is probably the next takeover. I'm trying to look at the. Here we go. I was waiting for it to load. Let's see. 2021. Oh, that's upcoming events. It doesn't look like, right now, all that's set is Extreme Rules, which is in Columbus, Crown Jewel in Riyadh, Survivor Series, which is in Brooklyn, and then whatever the December pay-per-view is, which is automatically slated right now for Rosemont, for Allstate Arena. And then the only three shows we have next year slated, that day one, that weird pay-per-view on New Year's Day in Atlanta. I don't know what that is. Of course, WrestleMania, and then Money in the Bank was already booked.
That's going to be the return of Trae Young. He's going to be the headliner.
That's right, yes. So I don't know when the next NXT is. So I'm curious to see how things look by the time we get our next takeover, which something tells me will be between that Crown Jewel show and Survivor Series. That's my take. So probably sometime in late October, maybe early November, will be the next NXT takeover. And then we'll kind of see the long game of what Vince and Bruce will be doing. Now, I know Triple H has had some health issues, and I did hold multiple candlelight vigils. You know, even though people on Twitter were very, very callous. Not Don either. But we'll see how long this experiment goes and how long Vince is like, all right, you can have this back. Who knows? Maybe focusing so much on NXT will make Raw and SmackDown better. Who knows? Anyway. So that's our little chit chat. I wanted to really sit with Nate, with our Cavassier and our Romeo and Juliets, and chat about wrestling. We missed you, Steve. Steve Willey will be back with us in 2 weeks. And at the moment, knock on wood, Brandon Thurston will be joining us in 2 weeks. We'll talk a little money, and ratings and such. Nate, this was fun. This was fun. It was a pleasure to just sit and shoot the shit for the last hour or so. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and I'm pumped for your boy Big E, and we got some good wrestling coming up. NWA just announced a show on October 24th via the Tried and True wrestling promotion. That's the one that Crimson runs. New Japan's kind of there. Isn't that weird? Usually we're all over New Japan, but I don't know. They didn't do this. Did they do the G1? Did I miss it? Did we miss it?
No, I don't think we missed it. I don't think we missed it.
Okay, good. I want to make sure, because usually Steve keeps us on the uptake on that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. So.
Now, I think New Japan right now is focused on who they're going to send next to beat up Jon Moxley.
To beat up Jon Moxley. Yeah, do the whole roster. Oh, my God. All right, now that I'm watching and I hate John Dean Ambroxley, now I wouldn't mind seeing my guy, Mr. Okada, go to AEW just so he could snap Moxley's knee and then he could be gone for 5 years.
Like, I really think this is a long game, because I think this is a long game to get to Tanahashi, which would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be very cool, actually.
What I was gonna say earlier, Scotty, about AEW, yes. Like, and this is another reason why I think they're gonna give us something good with the whole Kenny and Bryan Danielson thing. Like, they have a way of fixing things on the fly. And so, like, the Dynamite that took place a week ago, where they cut off Minoru Suzuki's theme.
Yes.
And everybody was all up in arms.
It was mentioned this week.
They turned it into a storyline. And so, like, they said it was the ultimate sign of disrespect by Moxley. And so, at the end of this week's Dynamite, Moxley and Kingston win, and then Suzuki comes out. They're playing the theme. He's walking slowly. The anticipation is building. Steps in the ring, and then all of a sudden, the whole crowd just kaza ni nare. And everybody's like, oh, we got our Suzuki moment. And then the next thing you know, Lance Archer, like, beats up Kingston from behind, and Suzuki takes out Moxley. And it's like,
it was great.
That's a great way to turn, like, a flub or a mistake into, like, a really cool wrestling angle. And, like, so that's why I have a lot of faith right now with Tony Khan, Scotty. So I'm hoping he doesn't let us down on next Wednesday.
I agree. Because you know what? WWE would try to pretend that didn't happen and fix it in post-production.
Yeah.
Like, they have to be perfect. They have to be perfect.
Yeah.
And that's dumb. We're done with that now. That's WWE's problem. They can't take a mistake and roll with it. They gotta, you know, in post-production, it's like adding crowd noise, which is, I still find fucking annoying.
It's live TV. Things happen.
Things happen. We're live, pal. as for our boys in Impact, of course, they're building up to Slammiversary. Not Slammiversary, I'm sorry, A Bound for Glory. Yeah. Wrestling Anniversary just happened. A Bountiful Glory, which will be on Saturday night, October 23rd. So we'll see how Impact Champion Christian Cage does if he drops the belt and this business partnership ends and Impact could actually do its own thing. I really want to see Rich Swann win the belt back, Nate. That's my ultimate end game for me.
Yeah, I think Rich is up there. For whatever reason, I think the company really wants to put the rocket on Sami Callihan, and I'm not there. I think Sammy's a good heel, but I don't see him as the guy leading your company. I think it's either got to be Rich or Moose, one of those two.
Yeah, I agree. I love Moose. I'm really bummed that Moose hasn't gotten the rub yet. It's kind of annoying, to be quite honest with you.
I kind of wanted Moose to be the first one to beat Kenny for that Impact title.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer. Guess what? That show is in Vegas, too. At the Sam's Town Live. Yeah. Wherever the hell that is.
I think they've been there before.
It doesn't even have a link to it, so I don't even know. Anyway, do everything in Vegas. That's my take.
They find a lot of these, they find a lot the Skyways, Skyline Studios. They find a lot of these small or private venues that they can fit a few people in and make it look like a lot of people. They're very smart about that.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I agree with you 100%.
No sense in trying to rent Allegiant Stadium for the night when you're only going to fill a quarter of it, if that.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. Talk about a lot of curtains.
I was going to say, you'll spend more money on fabric than you will
on fabric
making money
arts.
On the pay-per-view.
Oh, Jesus. That's crazy. Anyway, so that'll do it for this week's show. Hope you enjoyed it. Nice kind of free-form chat. We don't get to do that very often. Join us in 2 weeks. Brother Nate and myself will be back, as always. Our man, Brother Steve Willie, will return. And hopefully, knock on wood, we got him at the moment. Brandon Thurston will join us. We'll talk a little money and ratings and other fun stuff as we head into the fourth quarter of the year. Brother Nate, anything you want to pump?
Yeah, let's talk about this Kings of Sport Patreon, ladies and gentlemen.
Love talking about
it. Yes. Not only do you get the current editions of the Kings of Sport podcast, but you get the classic editions of the show in addition to TDT Talks, which features Steve Willie, the episodes of the Chain Reaction from Place to Be Nation and the Kings of Sport. You can find that on the Patreon. And just a little foreshadowing, as we get closer to episode 300, we're going to have an announcement about a future project involving me and one Marcus Vanderberg. So if you want to stay in the loop, if you want to stay in the know, Scotty, you got to subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/kingsofsport. $5 gets you in the door. But if you want to be on that Steve Willie level, if you want to be on the Scott Criscola level, then you got to spend a little bit more. But yeah, check out the Patreon. I was talking with Marcus over Facebook this afternoon, and we were putting plans together for the next chapter of what we do together.
I think I know what the show end theme will be this week. I think I'm going to have to play a little Peaches and Herb because reunited feels so good. Because you and Marcus deserve to be together. As for me on this side, follow me on Twitter at Scott C. Podfather. And you can follow the brand on Twitter at PTBN Wrestling. Of course, the PTB Wrestling Network has been very busy this week. We had new episode of Talking WCW. Jenny, Tim, and Greg did Stunning Steve Austin. Great episode. I enjoyed it very much. New episode of Extreme Resurrection.
I'm hoping we got, I haven't listened to it yet. I do love me some Talking WCW. But I hope. I hope they reviewed a match featuring Lady Blossom. Because I want to hear Jenny's reaction to Lady Blossom in WCW. Because it was just such a random period of Steve Austin's career.
Yes, I know. Well, I won't spoil it. You'll have to listen to find out. It was good. We had a new episode of Extreme Resurrection this week. Our man Gurney, we love Gurney, James Grunberg and Michael Cook, continuing their trek through 2006 WWE CW. New episode of Row One Seat One with Ben Zahn.
That is a thankless task. watching that show. That's almost as bad as me and Brian Mann watching WCW in the year 2000.
I know, but those guys are, I mean, one thing I love, and I got to know Gruny very well in Vegas. Love the guy to death. And he is a glutton for punishment. So I don't know. And Michael Cook's a Met fan, so he's been dealing with punishment.
That's one positive I'll say about NXT 2.0, Scotty. It's not as bad as WWE ECW.
We haven't seen any zombies yet. So
yes.
So, but who knows? Just don't put it in Kevin Dunn's head.
And then look, cut to 2 weeks later when Chavo Guerrero's your NXT champion. We spoke too soon, Scott.
Well, he just got kicked out of the group there
with Andrade.
With Andrade. He's the NXT champion. Could you imagine?
That's Chavo Guerrero. He doesn't work here.
He doesn't work here. He was on Tough Enough. No, it was way before Tough Enough.
He was a trainer on Tough Enough.
He was a trainer on Tough Enough. Is that, what the heck was her name? The one that always gets in a fight. Ivelisse. Is that Ivelisse?
Yes.
Who's she going to beat the shit out of? Who's she going to piss off and get fired here on Tough Enough? New Mickey Mount Rushmore, the wrestling edition, this past week as well. And, so there you go. Busy week on the PTB Wrestling Network. Check out the other feeds and the Quad of Pods, the PTB Pop Experience, Jenny Position, and Minosa. Have a great 2 weeks, everyone. For Brother Steve, we miss you. And Brother Nate, I'm Brother Scott. You have been in the main event. Enjoy the Grand Slam in Queens, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Hey, Scott Criscola.
Yes, finally. Yes, Nate Milton.
You know what? You know what? I was going to tell you a joke, Scotty, but I thought better of it. You know what? In the words of the late, great Norm MacDonald, no matter how bad things get, there's always beer. So I'm going to put down this Cavassier and pick up a beer. See you in 2 weeks.
I hate you, Steve Willie.
I say they call me Jumaine, the ebony lover. I validate the theory when I'm under the cover.
It's the Spoiler Kings, metal and diamond rings.
Football.
My name's Tarulo, I'm a real bad dude. Making sounds and noises that are certainly rude. But when we're on the field, my noises aren't art. Like a, and a, or a plane or bar.
It's the Spoiler Kings, metal and diamond rings.
Football.
I was leader of the team for about a week. My specialty was the quarterback sneak. I was sacked and attacked. My bag was packed when I got the word in the form of a bird.
It's the Spoiler Kings, better than diamond rings.
Football.
We once were a team that never could mesh it, but now we're something fresher than fresh.
You think we're jamming, and that's a fact. Everybody say Wildcat. Wildcats, 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 Wildcats.
It's the Spoiler Kings, better than diamond
rings. Football.
Motley's little girls and no other sucker made a banner that was a bad mother.
Don't cuss,
not us.
It's the Spoiler Kings, better than diamond rings.
Football.
Ha, 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 my name is Finch, and as you know, I used to sit on the bench. Money, food, and necessities of life, those are the things that keep me nice. But when I don't get them, I go berserk and act just like a 400-pound jerk.
Beat this out as soon as you can with just kicking it around, my man.
It's the Spoiler Kings, better than diamond rings. Football.
Wildcat
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 football.